Welcome to episode 371 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Luke 9, verse 51. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. He was born in Bethlehem. He grew up in Nazareth. He taught, preached, and healed throughout Galilee, Samaria, Judea, and Perea. But one city held his constant focus, Jerusalem. Isaiah 50, verse 7 speaks prophetically of Jesus, "But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame." 700 years later, Luke writes that Jesus sets his face like a flint, going to Jerusalem to suffer and die. Other versions say that he steadfastly set his face. His entry into the city marked the most dramatic and crucial week in world history. The week began with Christ's kingly march into the city and saw his death on the cross, by which we who were enemies were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. As Jesus entered the holy city, he neared the culmination of a long journey toward Golgotha. He had come to save the lost, and now was the time. This was the place to secure that salvation. This day has come to be known as Palm Sunday, and it marked the start of what is often called Passion Week, the final 7 days of Jesus' earthly ministry. This was the beginning of the end of Jesus' work on earth. Palm Sunday begins with Jesus and his disciples traveling over the Mount of Olives. The Lord sent his disciples ahead into the village of Bethpage to find an animal to ride. They found the unbroken colt of a donkey, just as Jesus had said they would. When they untied the colt, the owners began to question them. The disciples responded with the answer Jesus had provided: "The Lord needs it." Amazingly, the owners were satisfied with that answer and let the disciples go. They brought the donkey to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As Jesus ascended toward Jerusalem, a multitude, a large multitude, gathered around him. This crowd understood that Jesus was the Messiah. What they did not understand was that it wasn't time to set up the kingdom yet, although Jesus had tried to tell them so. The crowd's actions along the road give rise to the name Palm Sunday. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. In strewing their cloaks on the road, the people were giving Jesus the royal treatment. King Jehu was given similar honor at his coronation. John adds that the branches they cut were from palm trees. On that Palm Sunday, the people also honored Jesus verbally. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" In their praise of Jesus, the Jewish crowds were quoting Psalm 118, verses 25 to 26, an acknowledged prophecy of the Christ. The allusion to a messianic psalm drew resentment from the religious leaders who were present. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." However, Jesus saw no need to rebuke those who told the truth. He replied, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." When Jesus was born, wise men from the east came knocking at the doors of Jerusalem, asking that poignant question, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews?" And now, a few days before the cross, as his disciples and the multitudes thronged the city, an acclaim burst across Jerusalem's sky: "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Some 450 to 500 years prior to Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem, the prophet Zechariah had prophesied the event we now call Palm Sunday. "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem, see your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." That's Zechariah 9, verse 9. The prophecy was fulfilled in every particular, and it was indeed a time of rejoicing as Jerusalem welcomed their king. Unfortunately, the celebration was not to last. The crowds looked for a Messiah who would rescue them politically and free them nationally. But Jesus had come to save them spiritually. First things first. And mankind's primary need is spiritual, not political, cultural, or national salvation. Even as the coatless multitudes waved the palm branches and shouted for joy, they missed the true reason for Jesus' presence. They could neither see nor understand the cross. That's why, as Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." It is a tragic thing to see the Savior, but not recognize him for who he is. The crowds who were crying out Hosanna on Palm Sunday were crying out Crucify him later that week. Even as he was being celebrated, Jesus knew that this march of history, which began with a shout of Hosanna, would soon wind up on Golgotha, where he'd utter those triumphant words, "It is finished." As he was en route to Jerusalem, Christ used the parable of the 10 minas in Luke 19 verses 11 to 27 to teach them about the coming kingdom of God on earth. Many people in the crowd along the road believed that he was going to Jerusalem in order to establish his earthly kingdom immediately. Of course, he was going to Jerusalem to die, as he had stated in Luke 18 verse 33. Jesus used this parable to dispel any hopeful rumors that the time of the kingdom had arrived. This parable tells the story of a nobleman going on a journey and entrusting three servants with varying amounts of money. When the master arrives to settle accounts with these servants, the two that he entrusted with the most significant amounts offer the master a return on his investment. The third servant simply hid the money he was given and gives it back to the master. The last servant is scolded and rejected for not turning any profit on the money he was entrusted with. The master also commands that his enemies, who had rebelled against his authority during his absence, be executed. As Luke 19 verse 11 indicates, Jesus' most basic point is that the kingdom was not going to appear immediately. There would be a period of time during which the king would be absent before the kingdom would be set up. And while those who rebel against the king will suffer judgment, Jesus' hope is that all come to repentance. Luke 19 verses 41 to 44, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Notice the attitude of the king over the destruction of his enemies. He cried. And Jesus says that things could have been different if they had recognized him as their Messiah. They could have known peace and not destruction. Though it was all according to God's eternal plan, his disciples were so caught up in the traditions and teachings and expectations of their own time and culture that they completely missed his earlier warnings about what would take place and what it all meant. Christ spoke to them, but they didn't listen. Or maybe they listened, but what he said went so much against what they expected or for which they had hoped that they blocked it out. How can we make sure that we aren't doing the same thing when it comes to biblical truth? Father, we know that there is coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Help us to be among those who will shout, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.